Unit 1.1c, Movement Analysis, Unit Details. Within this unit, you need to know the following. Firstly, you need to know the locations of the three lever systems, the order of the components in the lever systems, and the supporting examples of when these would work to produce movement. Next, you need to understand what is meant by the term mechanical advantage. Then, you need to know the three planes of movement in the body, the movement types that can happen within each of these, and supporting examples of movements that can take place within each plane. Finally, you need to know about the three axes of rotation in the body, along with supporting examples of when a sports person may rotate on these axes during performance. Unit 1.1c, Movement Analysis, Recording Number 1. In this recording, I will discuss how lever systems work and the three parts to each lever system. I would recommend that whilst listening to this recording, you have your workbook notes open so that you can look at the diagrams to help you to visualise what it is that I am discussing. If you do not have any of your notes to hand, then Google lever systems and find a diagram to look at, as this unit is quite tricky, so it's good to have a visual aid as well. Within our skeleton, we have many joints. Each of these acts as what is known as a lever to create movement at some point within the body. These work to increase the speed at which our body or an object can move. For example, our levers allow us to run, and they also allow us to move objects such as throwing a ball or swinging a golf club. Each lever has three parts. Firstly, we have the fulcrum. This is the point of movement. It doesn't usually move itself, but the body moves around it, and this can usually be found at the centre of a joint. For example, the elbow in third-class levers. When drawing a diagram of a lever system, the fulcrum is represented by a triangle. The next part of a lever system is the load. This is whatever it is that the lever is trying to move. This could be an object such as a dumbbell or a racket, or it could just be the weight of the body when trying to jump. When the lever is in action, the load will move. When drawing a diagram of a lever system, the load is represented by a downward pointing arrow, or sometimes a square. The final part of a lever system is the effort. This is the muscle that is working to move the load. When drawing a diagram of a lever system, the effort is represented by an arrow pointing in the direction of the movement of the muscular force. In a first class lever, the arrow points downwards, but in second and third class levers, the arrow points upwards. There are three types of levers that you need to know about. These are known as first, second and third class levers, and the order of the fulcrum, effort and load is different in each of these names of levers. In a first class lever, the fulcrum is always in the middle. In a second class lever, the load is always in the middle, and in a third class lever, the effort is always in the middle. We can remember this by saying 1, 2, 3, FLE, as 1 is set at the same point in the rhyme as F, and 1 links to F, as the fulcrum is always in the middle of a first class lever. 2 links to L, as the load is always in the middle of a second class lever. And finally, 3 links to E, as the effort is always in the middle of a third class lever. This little rhyme will help you, because if you learn it when it comes to this tricky topic, then you've got it, because there's not a whole lot that they can ask you on this. But working out what always comes in the middle is really useful. I would recommend writing that on the inside of your exam paper to help you remember. One of my students used to remember 1, 2, 3 FLE by using a famous Jackson 5 song and replacing the lyrics with 1, 2, 3, it's as easy as FLE. I will play a little bit of the original song for you now, as I don't fancy singing on record myself, so that you can imagine the tune. Hopefully that helps you to remember the rhyme, and if you ask me about it in school, then I might feel more up for singing it to you. The final point on this recording is that the order of the other two parts of the lever depend on which way the person is facing and how you are looking at it. For example, in a first class lever, if the person that you are looking at is looking to your right, then the parts of the lever from left to right would be effort, fulcrum, load. As the trapezius, the effort, is on the left, the fulcrum, the neck joint, is always in the middle, regardless of which way they're looking, and the weight of the head is on the right, that is the load in this case. You may need to play this part back and listen to it with a diagram in front of you for this to make sense. This is only ever important if you are asked to identify the order of the components if they give you a picture. If they just ask you to draw a first class lever with a blank space, then it wouldn't matter which way around you had the effort and the load, as long as the fulcrum was in the middle. In the next recordings, I will discuss each lever individually. Unit 1.1c, Movement Analysis, Recording Number 2. In this recording, I will discuss first class levers. The main first class lever in the body is located at the neck joint. In this lever, the neck is the fulcrum, the weight of the head is the load, and the trapezius and neck muscles are the effort, as they contract to lift the head. In a first class lever, the fulcrum is always in the middle. We can remember this by the rhyme 1-2-3 FLE, as the F is said first and the 1 is said first. Please make sure that you have listened to recording number 1 for more details on the parts of a lever, as there is more to it than this. Here are three examples of when this lever would be used in sport. Number 1. A footballer would use this lever when lifting their head to perform a header. Number 2. A swimmer would use this lever when lifting their head out of the water to take a breath in swimming. Number 3. A badminton player would use this lever to lift their head up and watch the shuttle onto their racket strings when they are performing a smash shot. Unit 1.1c, Movement Analysis, Recording Number 3. In this recording, I will discuss second class levers and mechanical advantage. The main second class lever in the body is located at the ball of the foot. In this lever, the ball of the foot is the fulcrum, the weight of the body is the load, and the gastrocnemius muscle is the effort, as it contracts to lift the body up onto the ball of the foot. In a second class lever, the load is always in the middle. We can remember this by using the rhyme 1-2-3 FLE, as the L for load is said second and the 2 is said second in the rhyme. Please make sure that you have listened to recording number 1 for more details on the parts of a lever. Here are three examples of when this lever would be used in sport. A gymnast would use this lever when going up onto their toes to present following a floor routine. A sprinter would use this lever when pushing against the blocks in a sprint start. A netball player would use this lever to go up onto their toes to make themselves as big as possible when marking another player. It is important to mention that second-class levers offer a mechanical advantage. A mechanical advantage is when a large load can be moved with a small amount of effort. This is a key definition that you need to learn. This is the sort of knowledge that's going to be required at the very top end. A second class lever allows this, as it is relatively easy to lift your own body weight. This is often a heavy weight which would be very difficult to lift with another lever type, such as a third class lever. Therefore, our second class lever offers a mechanical advantage. Unit 1.1c, Movement Analysis, Recording Number 4. In this recording, I will discuss third class levers. The main third class lever in the body is located at the elbow joint. In this lever, the elbow joint is the fulcrum. The object being held is the load, and the biceps muscle is the effort, as it contracts to lift the weight. In a third class lever, the effort is always in the middle. We can remember this by the rhyme 1-2-3 FLE, as the E for effort is said third, and the 3 is always third in the rhyme. Please make sure that you have listened to recording number one for more details on the parts of a lever. Here are three examples of when this lever would be used in sport. A weightlifter would use this lever when lifting a dumbbell during a biceps curl. A javelin thrower would use this lever when flexing the elbow whilst throwing the javelin. A tennis player would use this lever when moving the racket towards the ball when they are performing a forehand shot. Unit 1.1c, Movement Analysis, Recording Number 5. In this recording, I will discuss planes of movement. I would recommend that whilst listening to this recording, you have your workbook notes open so that you can look at the diagrams to help you to visualise what it is that I am discussing. If you do not have any of your notes to hand, then Google OCR planes of movement and find a diagram to look at. The body is split into three main planes. These are known as sagittal, frontal and transverse planes. Now, it's important to note that other exam boards refer to them as different names, so ensure that whenever you're looking at anything to do with this, you type in OCR. Planes are like imaginary planes of glass that run through our bodies. Each plane has its own specific movement types, and these movements will never go across the plane and break the imaginary glass. The first plane is the sagittal plane. This splits the body side to side. You can remember this as sagittal and side to side both begin with a letter S. The movement types that are possible in this plane are flexion and extension. Here are two sporting examples of movements that take place on the sagittal plane. Number one, a sprinter moves within the sagittal plane when driving their arms and legs through flexion and extension during a running action to power down the track at speed. Number two, a footballer moves within the sagittal plane when moving their leg from extension to flexion at the hip to strike a football. The next plane is the frontal plane. This splits the body into front and back. You can remember this as frontal and front and back both begin with an F. The movement types that are possible in this plane are adduction and adduction. Here are two sporting examples of movements that take place on the frontal plane. A swimmer moves within the frontal plane when moving their arms through abduction and adduction at the shoulders and hips when performing the breaststroke. A star jump also takes place on this plane as adduction and abduction occur at the hip and shoulder. The final plane is the transverse plane. This splits the body into top and bottom. As with the others, you can remember this as transverse and top and bottom both begin with a T. The movement types that are possible in this plane are rotational movements. Here are two sporting examples of movements that take place on a transverse plane. A netballer moves within a transverse plane when pivoting whilst looking for a free person to pass to. A trampolinist moves within the transverse plane when performing a full twist during a routine. Unit 1.1c, Movement Analysis, Recording Number 6. In this recording, I will discuss the axes of rotation. I would recommend that whilst listening to this recording, that you have your workbook notes open so that you can look at the diagrams to help you to visualise what it is that I am discussing. If you do not have any of your notes to hand, then Google OCR axes of rotation and find a diagram to look at. It's important that you always look at the OCR axes of rotation, as other exam boards refer to these axes as different names, so we don't want to be using them. The body has three axes of rotation. These are known as the longitudinal, frontal and transverse axes. Axes are like imaginary skewers or poles running through the body. Every time a rotational movement occurs, the body is rotating on one of these three axes. The first axis is a longitudinal axis. This runs through the body from head to toe, and it is the longest of the three axes. It allows rotational movements such as a full twist in trampolining or a pirouette in dance. The next axis is the frontal axis. This runs through the body from front to back at the belly button, and it allows rotational movements such as a cartwheel in gymnastics and a goalkeeper jumping to the side to perform a save. The final axis is the transverse axis. This runs through the body from side to side, passing through the hips, and allows rotational movements such as a front somersault in trampolining or a forwards roll in gymnastics. With this area of the topic, try to keep things simple by using a full twist for the longitudinal axis, a cartwheel for the frontal axis, and a somersault for the transverse axis when given examples. These examples are the most clear-cut as they involve a full rotation. When you write these as your example, you are not giving the marker anything to think about, and therefore you are guaranteeing yourself the mark. If they provide you with one example already, it is important to have a backup. However, if not, always use these three examples.